I'm Tommy Gimler. Lindsey Vonn says she doesn't watch her boyfriend Tiger Woods play golf because golf is boring. Well, I've got news for you, sweetheart. So is skiing.
I'm Andy Ostroff, and New England's Nate Solder played every game last year despite the fact that he had a cancerous testicle removed before the season. And it's stories like this that make us realize that Jay Cutler is even bigger pussy than we already thought he was. We've got the deets.
And I'm T'Shawn Phillips. No, he's not here.
No, but that's what he would say.
Right, something like that.
He would moo. T'Shawn Phillips, part cow, not here.
The Daily Upper Decker, nothing but sports and crap.
All right, Andy, this is the first time we're doing this. It's a duo.
It's a duo.
The Daily Upper Decker Dudcast, it's a duo today.
Mm-hmm. I know, I'm a little nervous. I have stage fright.
You shouldn't have stage fright. You shouldn't be nervous because you were quite the duo last night working at the Improv. Antoine Walker was one of your clients.
Antoine Walker did come in last night.
And we were going back and forth with texts. We were kind of worried. It's not every day that an NBA star sits down at your table at the Improv, much less one who claimed bankruptcy.
They come in
often.
He
might have claimed bankruptcy like twice, three times.
He might have, but the dude had money on him, man. He paid in cash. He gave me like $800 for the bill and everything in cash.
He gave me $800 for the bill that was $900.
Yeah.
It was
no,
great.
Man, he tipped. And he did something really cool. He was very conscientious of it. I gave him the bill, and he did something that I hadn't really seen before. He said, "How much is it?" And I told him, he goes, "Does that include you?"
And that's awesome.
And I said, "No, it doesn't." He goes, "All right, I got you." So I came back to the table, and he had the money for the bill. And he goes, "This is for the bill." And it was like 50 cents over, right? And he goes, "And this is yours." And he had another stack of 20s just handing me that.
And it came out to like 20%.
Yeah.
And it was great.
It was great.
All right, so we should stop ragging on Antoine Walker.
Yeah,
it turns out he's a real nice guy. 20%
on a $600 bill is a good night. You know?
Real nice guy.
He was fucking cool. And I told him I was a Celtics fan. He was pumped. I was like, "Dude," I was like, "you're my favorite, like one of my favorite players in middle school and high school, man." And he was like, "Oh, thanks." He was really excited.
I think he might have just been really excited that he was out in Los Angeles, like, you know, out of his realm.
Well, I looked him up today. Do you know that he played two seasons in the D League at the end of his career?
He just needed to make money somewhere, man.
I guess.
Yeah, he just wanted to play.
He was an all-star.
For the D-League?
No, I mean, he was an all-star for the NBA.
Right.
He was in the D-League, like, after a 12-year NBA career.
He made so much money, too, and then lost. But it's good to see that he's back. It seems like he's back on his feet. He's laughing.
I mean, he's certainly
Mo Betta Mondays
enough.
At the Improv.
Yeah,
he's laughing it up, yucking it up, and tipping well.
He is enormous.
What, Antoine Walker?
Yeah, he might be one of the biggest guys I've ever seen.
Oliver Miller status?
Yeah, I mean, he's big. I mean, he's just... I mean, he was never skinny, Antoine Walker, but he's
right.
Like, he's heavier than his playing weight. And he always had that huge, like, I don't know, my friends called it cheeseburger face. Because it's just shaped like a cheeseburger. And,
of course.
I mean, he was always just big, but he's fucking huge, man. Like, he's probably like 80 pounds heavier than he was. Because, mm-hmm. I mean,. You know, a shorter
Well, plus
guy,
he's walking around
pounds.
With all that cash, so it's probably like 3 pounds worth
yeah.
of cash.
And
wow.
he's very tall. He's 6'9", but he's like the dude could play offensive lineman somewhere.
So you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Antoine Walker, not a dick, not poor anymore. He's tipping 20%.
Very cool, man.
Very excited if you recognize
very
him.
Cool.
Antoine Walker. Look
I did
up.
Hear a story about Scottie Pippen, though, when my friend in Chicago was telling me that when he was on the Bulls.
This is while he's a player.
Yeah. Okay. He was known around town as No Tippin' Pippin.
Come on.
Yes.
As a player.
As
and
a
he
player.
He was raking it in at that point.
Oh, yeah.
No Pippin' Tippin'.
No
so if
tippin
he wasn't
pippin.
Tippin' as a player, now what is he doing?
I don't know. And he's broke, too, isn't he? Remember he was going to come back to the NBA a couple years ago because he needed the cash so bad?
Wow, really?
Yeah, and it's not like he's tipping too much. Jesus.
Word of it. Oh, that third record label was a terrible idea. Speaking of hot messes, it's time for the hot mess.
The hot mess.
Topic number one, you're going to find this on the Daily Upper Decker this morning. You probably read it already, right? Nate Solder. This is an amazing story. And you said one of the most amazing things about it is that it was just a little blurb on ESPN. Oh, by the way, Nate Solder was treated for nut cancer before the 2014
I mean,
season
it,
and then
you,
played
if
every
you
game.
If you Google it, it'll come up on a bunch of news sources, but I... I didn't see it as a headline in anything else. It wasn't on like PTI or anything that I saw. I mean, I didn't even see.
I didn't see it
on SportsCenter. I did not watch the latest SportsCenter, but I mean, I didn't see it anywhere. Really.
It's a crazy story. So Nate Solder,
and it might
the
have only come
lineman,
up because I got the Patriots as one of my favorite teams,
and that's the only because I didn't hear about it until you. Told me.
Yeah, I told you, and I told my brother, and I told my cousin, and they didn't even know about it either. I was just talking to all them.
And then you know, they're on their telephone game. They had the three people that they had to call, and then those three people called their eight people. But Nate Solder, the offensive lineman for the New England Patriots, was diagnosed with testicular cancer in April,
so 1 year ago.
Right, so in, and it was like during off-season workouts. It was like this time
he had
a
routine physical.
Right.
And they checked out and they were like, oh, this doesn't feel right.
So he had a testicle removed and then still played every single game.
Not even just every single game. He played four preseason games and three postseason games.
Right.
Which is a lot of fucking games. You know?
Which, let's see, 23 games.
Seriously, man.
So
most people don't get to play three postseason games.
It's and it's an unbelievable, maybe the most unbelievable part of that story.
And he caught a touchdown against the Colts.
Yes. And you know, so what's so amazing about that story, not the fact that he played, that he went through everything, didn't miss any time, that's amazing in itself. But in the world of social media and like just the news, how it leaks in today's day and age, the fact that we didn't hear about this until now.
Yeah.
If Tom Brady takes a shit at Denny's, you hear about it within 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, Patriots are pretty mum on their injury report. Tom Brady's on the injury report every week, and he probably isn't even injured.
He's probable every single week.
He's
probable. But Nate Solder, was he ever on there?
I don't think so.
That's crazy. It's crazy. It's just an amazing story.
But here's the thing also that bothers me. I feel like... He, of course, he probably wanted to be private about it, you know? But
he's like,
I feel it's
he's
such
like the anti Tom Green. Like Tom Green has testicular cancer. He does an episode of it.
It's such an inspirational story that it's something that they should be talking about, you know?
Right. So now let's look at the exact opposite. Jay Cutler gets sacked three times and his knee hurts and he goes and sits on the bench. This guy had testicular cancer.
Yeah. He's also a lineman compared to a quarterback. They don't wear sleeves in the cold, right? I mean, but also, like, I made the joke in the article that, you know, last year they should have been talking about Nate Solder's balls instead of Deflategate, you know? I mean, it's a lame, cheap joke, but it's true. Like,
but it's
that was
true.
The biggest non-story I've ever seen. You notice they're not talking about it anymore.
Correct.
I think if they keep talking about it and digging, they're going to find some shit that they don't want to find out. I'm convinced that there was some conspiracy against the Patriots and that sort of deflate
thing. What we'll do next year when it's 2 weeks out from the Super Bowl, we'll come up with our own stories that we think they're going to talk about. Like, what are some bullshit stories that they can come up with just to get media attention during that first off week?
Deflategate worked because that was the most watched Super Bowl ever.
Brian Williams was talking about it.
Dude.
It was like one of the top stories on NBC Nightly News.
Dude, it was the top story on NBC, CNN, CBS,
but this
ABC,
should have been the number one story. Nate Solder, testicular cancer. That's a great story.
This is a great story.
You had me. Every single time Deflategate came on, I was flipping it off. I'm like, I'm done with this story. You could do a 6 minute, dude, do a 16 minute story on Nate Solder being diagnosed with testicular cancer in April, getting his ball removed, and then playing every single game.
Yeah.
You've got me for all 16 minutes.
I mean, dude, you get, what's his name? The guy who used to be on MTV, he's now on ESPN, does the My Wish segments.
Oh, Chris Conley.
Yeah, you get Chris Conley on that, man. You get a fucking tearjerker.
So is this the toughest thing you've ever heard of? The only thing I could ever, like, the toughest thing in the NFL that I've ever heard of before this was Ronnie Lott
losing
like,
his finger.
Like cutting off the finger and playing.
Yeah, his finger was gross. It went like sideways.
Right. He was just cut it off.
There are a few that I actually did some. I looked up some today. And there are a number of athletes that have come back from cancer. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know.
In the NFL or just?
In the NFL, there was. A punter named Josh Bidwell.
Yeah, he used to. He looked like Boggs from Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, he had testicular cancer, lost 50 pounds during his chemo, and then came back in 2005 and made a Pro Bowl.
And the crazy thing about him is he was diagnosed with that before he was technically under the NFL's insurance.
Oh, geez.
So this was like straight out of college, but everyone in the Packers locker room chipped in and paid for it.
Oh, wow. And then A real big one that you forget is Mario Lemieux.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? He had Hodgkin's lymphoma, and he missed 3.5 years of hockey and then came back and still played great.
Wow.
And he was like, you know, I stopped training. I was getting this chemo. I couldn't train, you know, because chemo wipes you the fuck out.
It's like really mono. Does.
Eric Davis did it too. He had colon cancer, and he would schedule his chemo around his workouts and games.
Like the Eric Davis, the baseball player?
Yeah. Okay. He came back, and I mean, he returned that year. He had 1997, and he came back for the playoffs.
Wow.
Which is pretty badass. A woman named Edna Campbell is a WNBA player, had played with breast cancer.
That's not sports.
Mike Lowell had testicular cancer at 24.
Did he really?
Yeah. He came back, won 3 World Series, and was an All-Star 4 times. This guy, Eric Abidal, he's a French soccer player, but he was playing for Barcelona. Yeah, well, he had a fucking tumor on his liver. Came back 2 months later and played from the entire game when Barcelona beat Man U in the Champions League final. So there, and fucking Lance Armstrong too.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Say
that
what
guy
you
was,
want about the guy, but yeah.
That guy was on death's doorstep. And you know what? Fuck it. He doped, but he just doped better than all the other guys who were doping. You cannot convince me that they weren't all doing it.
Yeah. Well, and the whole point of this story, going all the way back, like, this guy's not doping. Nate Solder, just a badass.
Fucking
testicular
badass.
Cancer, diagnosed, plays every single game, wins the Super Bowl.
Well, if you look at what he said, like, his interview about it, he's like, I'm a professional athlete.
This doesn't happen to me.
What am I
going to
do?
Yeah. Unreal.
The hot mess.
You know the Patriots? The Patriots have the 22nd hardest schedule.
Really?
Based on last year's winning percentage.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. The Indianapolis Colts, they were in the AFC Championship game last year. They have the second easiest schedule.
Really? Well, they had an easy schedule last year too, didn't they?
The Colts?
Yeah.
In that division, you have the Jaguars, the Texans, the Titans.
Yeah. You play those teams all twice.
Right. You might split with the Texans, but you're going to.
That division's even worse than the AFC East.
Right.
Which I think the Dolphins, I think, will be all right this year.
Because you look at like who has the easiest schedule. Let's see. It's 3, 6, 7, 8. So they're in the 8 easiest schedules, all 4 AFC South teams are in that category. The top 8 easiest schedules because they
One
all suck
One thing I
so
like about
ass.
The Patriots schedule was the fact that in week 3, they play the Jacksonville Jaguars. So if they shit the bed the first 2 games, they turn around week 3.
There's no way they're going to.
And even if they don't, they have a bye week 4, so they can just fix that shit. I don't like having the bye that early, though. I like having the bye week like 7, 8, 9, but I can't choose that. One game I am looking forward to is in week 1, 1 p.m. game, is the Browns at the Jets.
Oh.
Very excited to see the Browns in their new college uniforms. Week 3, Oakland Raiders at the Browns. That should be a great
game. God, the Browns
game.
Could win 10 games. Listen to these games.
Yeah. I don't know. There's 2 that they can win. They probably play the Jacksonville Jaguars one time. Another game I'm interested in seeing is the Cardinals at the Seahawks. Week 10, if Carson Palmer is healthy, that could be a totally different game than it was at the end of last season.
It's amazing. So what each team does, or what each NFL fan does, is they look at their schedule, like their team schedule, and they say
okay, which game can we travel to with the
this
guys?
Is a win. Yeah, this is a win. This is a loss. This is a win. This is a loss. And you go through. And I talk to like a lot of Packers fans. A lot of Packers fans out there. I talked to Packers guru Kelly Hayes, and he said 11-5.
Okay.
11-5 for the Packers this year.
Who were the 5 losses?
He thinks they're going to lose to Seattle, even though Seattle comes to Green
Lambeau,
Bay.
What week?
Which I thought was great, because back in the day when Favre was still at the helm, the Packers would get smoked when they went to Dallas, and then finally Dallas had to come to Green Bay. It was like 3 or 4 games in a row we had to go to Dallas to play them, and then finally Dallas came up to Green Bay, and the Packers won by like 25, 26 points. It was unbelievable. They just smoked them from the get-go.
Speaking of Dallas, I was reading somewhere that some guy's like, dude, week 1, Giants at Cowboys. And, you know, it's like, yeah, they're division rivals and stuff, but every time I watch a Giants-Cowboys game in the last, like, 6 or 7 years, it seems like both teams are trying to lose. Like, it's just shit. They're like, oh, let's throw an interception. Well, if you do that, I'm going to fumble.
Well, I think so. They open up this year on Sunday night. I remember. I think 2 years ago they opened up Sunday night. Eli Manning had like four first half interceptions.
Yeah, and the Giants still won.
And did they win or they almost came back to win?
Oh no, they almost came back to win.
But it was unbelievable. Like he was so bad, and that's what you're saying. It was just like, okay, here we're gonna try and lose.
It's always the shittiest. Like two seasons ago, I was dating this girl who was a Cowboys fan, and like I watched that game, and I was like. It was like the shit. I turned around. I was like, are both teams trying to fucking lose? This is the worst game I've ever seen.
All I know
is this is worse than that game in Tennessee high school girls basketball when they were both trying to lose.
Intentionally.
And they both got kicked out of the tournament.
And that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
So the Packers host the Seahawks in week two. But if you're a Packers fan who lives out on the West Coast like a bunch of us do, a lot of travel opportunities. Week 15 at Oakland. At Oakland.
Go.
If you've got some armor. You know,
oh, I didn't even look to see about the Patriots West Coast games.
Week 4 at San Francisco. Week 16, December 27th, Christmas present at Arizona.
Oh,
so a lot of we actually have San Diego at home, so we don't get to go down to San Diego.
Oh, you don't get to go to that fucking dump of a stadium called Qualcomm.
Yeah, correct.
Oh,
so
what a shithole.
But it's interesting. A lot of travel opportunities, but. But it's so amazing right now. Like the teams, here's the thing about the schedule release, mm-hmm. is that we've known
the matchups for a while. And they're like, the schedule will release. It's like now we know the times.
Right. So now you know the times. You know the places because you know what teams you're gonna get, but you don't know if you're gonna get them on the road or at home. Mm-hmm. But like they made it an event. They're the NFL, right? And the draft isn't even until next week, right? The NFL draft isn't until next week, and people are already saying, like, okay, Packers going to be 11-5. You don't know.
They need something to talk about. There's no news coming to the NFL right now, so they're talking about all sorts of shit. Like
right. For
like,
the most part, the NFL players have been behaving
themselves. The new rumor is the Bucs are going to trade the number one pick.
Right, and it's and like I said, like you were saying, like
for what the quarterback they don't have,
right? So it's just anything to get like the breaking news that said Adam Schefter sits in on ESPN.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
Adam Schefter will report anything anyone ever tells.
I mean, look at us. We just spent like what 6 minutes talking about the NFL schedule.
Yeah,
garbage. Let's move on to a sport that's actually playing right now here in the hot mess.
The
Royals and Athletics this weekend. Did you watch any of those games? Watching the highlights?
I saw the highlights.
It was pretty crazy. So
I saw the highlights of the like I saw the fight highlights or the not quite fight highlights, but
well it's pretty crazy. So if you don't follow baseball, there is a man by the name of Brett Lowry who is by far one of the most overrated players.
Yeah, you hate
of all
this
time.
Guy.
He started off in the Brewers system.
You played
and then
for the
they
Blue
traded
Jays,
him
right?
They traded him to Toronto and he has never played more than 125 games. In a season, 43 in 2011.
That's 125 more than I've played.
Right. Well, but he always gets hurt, right? He always gets hurt, but he is always like he's real boisterous, and he's always yelling so much and so crazy that you almost like think that he's on some kind of steroid.
Well, in the MLB, that wouldn't surprise me.
It's crazy. He's never hit more than 12 home runs in a season, never driven in more than 48 runs, never stolen more than 13 bases. Never hit higher than 293. So he's got a career average of 264, averages, you know, 9 home runs a season, mm-hmm. and it's Brett Lowry sliding hard, and it was a dirty slide. And that's what he doesn't understand. Like, he wants to know why he's getting a 100-mile-an-hour fastball behind
his
head.
Yeah, because he slid a foot in front of the bag and hit the guy right in the knee.
Correct, and took out their shortstop.
Dude, it looked worse.
He's one of the better shortstops in the league.
It looked worse than what it was. I thought that dude tore his knee apart. I mean, he just strained it, but still.
So what?
And he's like, I wasn't trying to spike him. It's like, no, you were just rip apart his ACL.
You were trying to take him out. And people can say, yeah, it's part of the game. It's whatever. If you go hard into second base, straight at second base, right? You're doing great. But the minute you go outside, if that player's already outside or if they're off to the side, the minute you go hard into that guy,
you're asking to get hit.
Correct.
But here's the thing that I didn't get. Once he got hit, his next at bat, I was like, all right, that's over.
Right.
But then the hits kept coming.
but that's what's so crazy is that they hit him, but then what happened is they hit Lorenzo Cain. So it was like, okay, we hit Lowry, it's over. Then they came back in. It was like they had already taken out one of their better players, Alcides Escobar. their shortstop. Then they took out like one of their better players, Lorenzo Cain, by hitting him in the ankle, and then they were like, okay, we're going to beat him again.
Yeah.
And it's like they keep taking out their players.
They hit the dude at the ankle, which I don't know. If you're trying to hit somebody, I wouldn't aim for their ankle.
Right, but I think he had to come out of the game. And that the whole point was like, you keep taking out our players. Like, fuck you guys, we're done.
And then my favorite was Kevin Herrera threw the ball 100 miles per hour behind the dude's head.
Right.
Right? Which is clearly an ejection. But then they were pissed. But then when he was going to the dugout, he was pointing at his head. And he's like, no, I didn't say, like, I'm going to hit you in the head. I meant, I didn't mean to hit you in the head. Think about it.
Think about it.
He was like, think about it. I'm pointing my head. Think. Not, I'm going to fucking hit you in the head that I'm pointing at.
Well, surprisingly, most people in the mainstream media are taking the side of the Athletics here that, like, hey, when he got beaten, it was over. It should have been over there. But what most people don't understand is that Brett Lowry comes out and he's yelling about, like, getting hit, getting a 100-mile-an-hour fastball behind your back. Hey, don't be an asshole. Don't go hard in the second base off of the base and take out their shortstop.
Yeah.
If you don't do that, you're not going to get a 100-mile-an-hour fastball behind your back. So, you know, look, you
instigated
this.
I don't want a 100-mile-per-hour fastball anywhere near me.
Correct. So don't play the game like an asshole, and this isn't going to happen. So he had the balls to sit there and bitch about, like, it's a game. It's a game. You're not here to hurt people. Then what are you doing? What are you doing with that slide in the second base?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of guys will go into a slide like that just to prevent a throw.
Mm-hmm.
But the way he came,
the way he slid past the bag.
Yeah, the effect of it was, I think, worse than what he may not have been trying to hurt somebody.
I think he's enough of an asshole that he was like, he didn't care. He's like, I'm taking this fucker out.
He could have been.
And that's it.
He didn't come up with a spikes high though. That's the only thing.
Speaking of, are you sure?
Well, spikes weren't like aimed at the dude's fucking dick.
Right. Yeah, but I'm sure. Yeah. But I mean, he still came sliding hard enough in.
He came sliding
and
in, but they were low. He didn't have his spikes high.
Well, speaking of another asshole move here. Did you see the woman get pegged by a foul ball at the Pirates game?
Yeah, I did.
It's pretty crazy. It was just an asshole move by karma, I guess. So if you didn't see it, a woman at the Pirates Cubs.
Karma's a bitch. By the way,
a woman at the Pirates Cubs game Monday night. Was getting down to her seat. It was the top of the second inning.
She was getting up from her seat.
No, she was. I think she was coming
down. I don't
know.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So second inning, the game's going on. She's behind the plate. There's a protective screen to protect people from getting hit by foul balls, and that protective screen did not do its job. Starlin Castro fouled the ball back.
The protective screen didn't even fucking slow it down. How big are the holes in the screen?
Right. So she was just that close to the screen as well. So she took it. Right in the dome.
Right in the back of the head, man.
It's a one in a 1 billion shot.
Really fucking hard.
I had said there are – it was somewhere stuck in between. The odds of getting hit in the head with a foul ball while you're behind a protective screen.
That lady is lucky she's alive.
Correct. I mean, if it hits her right in the temple. But I said the odds of getting hit in that position are somewhere between getting struck by lightning twice and having a threesome with Charlotte McKinney and Kate Upton. Somewhere in between there. That's how bad the odds are. Of getting hit by a foul ball in the head while you're behind a protective screen.
Were those odds happen to be more than 1 in 9 quintillion?
I'm sure.
The chances of filling out a perfect NCAA bracket.
Somewhere, I guarantee it's somewhere in there. How does that happen?
It's crazy. I've never seen the ball fly through the screen like that fast.
Right.
Like, and I've always felt, when I've sat behind home plate, I've always felt kind of comfortable because that screen's there. You know,
right.
You're like, I'm not going to get fucking hit by the
ball.
Well,
it didn't go through the screen. It just pushed the screen like the screen was.
Oh, it looked like it flew through.
No. It just hit the screen.
Oh, I thought it went through the screen. So the screen wasn't taut enough for
correct.
It to bounce back.
But if you're like just sitting in your seat in the front row, that doesn't hit you. Her problem was, and this is the thing. So if I'm at Dodger Stadium, if I'm at Miller Park and I'm going to watch a game, and there's someone up to bat, I wait up top, like up at the top before I start walking down the stairs. I wait until the play is over or if someone has just fouled off that pitch. Now I go.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you pay attention. You've got to be considerate of everyone else around you. They don't want to be like watching you go to your seat instead of watching the game, right? So you wait. You wait until the play is over, and then you go. So that was mistake number one for her, right? If she's turned around in her seat, she doesn't get hit. If you're there to the game on time and in your seat, she doesn't get hit. But she was late to the game.
This is the karma part?
You're late to the game, and you're walking down the stairs and going to your seat while the action is going. So if you just wait, it doesn't happen. Still, with that being
said, in those front sections, isn't there an usher to tell you to wait? Usually they
usually
stop
they
you.
Do. Usually
and
they
especially
do.
In a lower level.
So with even with all that being said, is this the unluckiest baseball fan of all time?
I'd say Bartman.
Bartman? I would say I would go with the dude who yelled, "Hey, Hamilton," and then Josh
and
Hamilton
died.
Throws him a ball, and then he's so
died.
Bad at catching balls that he falls out and kills himself.
Yes, but I would argue Bartman against that because Bartman had to live with it.
Correct. Correct.
In Chicago, where everybody hated him.
Ugh. Speaking of hate, how bad does the Cincinnati Reds manager hate the Cincinnati media right now? So bad that he dropped 77 F-bombs in an epic tirade against the guy's name is C. Trent Rosecrans. So that should tell you right now how much of a douchebag he already is. The fact
this
that
is,
he has...
This is kind of awesome because the guy, he wasn't screaming and yelling. He was very much in control.
Right.
And the best part is right before he went into his 77 F-bombs, he was just calm and collected.
Right, he was just kind of
talking
like, you know,
about
yeah.
like stuff. It was like he was having an Alzheimer episode or something like that.
Well, so if you thought these beat reporters, so many times you get like these beat reporters that like their job, they think their job is solely to break the story first.
Oftentimes it is.
And but it is. So their job is
they're just doing their
Reds
job.
Fans. Yes, yes, yes and no. But like here, Rosecrans also became part of the story. And this isn't the first time this guy's been involved with managers over
really?
Like, what he's written. So Dusty Baker had issues with him. And there's a video of that, like a tirade with him as well. So Rosecrans, this is how much of a douchebag he is. So Price starts talking to him about like, hey, how do we benefit? How do the
yeah.
Cincinnati Reds benefit from you telling the St. Louis Cardinals or everyone else out there right now that Devin Mesorosco, their catcher, isn't available to pinch hit on Sunday? How does that benefit the Reds? And the Rosecrans, the reporter, his answer is, I don't know. And he goes, yeah, well, you're making my job fucking harder. And Rosecrans, I'm sure it is. So it's like, it's dude.
Yeah, his fingers hurt. He couldn't hit right-handed.
Right, but then after that, it was basically like after that exchange, it like just took Price to the next level. Price next level, and he just starts dropping these F-bombs. So this is part of his tirade. Ah, fuck! I'm fucking pissing up a rope in this fucking business. But everyone has to know everything all the fucking time. That's not my fucking obligation. It's their obligation. You know why fucking Billy Hamilton didn't fucking play the other day? Because his fucking fingers hurt. He couldn't hit right-handed comfortably, right? So that's something that I need to know, and no one else needs to know. No one else needs to fucking know it. And all of a sudden, it's out there. His fucking fingers are sore.
The best part about that was he used the phrase "pissing up a rope."
Right. I don't even know what that means.
I don't know. It's awesome.
But it's
that's like Jimmy Williams when he was the Red Sox manager would say like these random like Southern colloquial phrases. Something like there was one, I don't remember what it was, but it made no sense, and it had the term like, "Does a frog beat his bippy?" I was like,
I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
Meanwhile, like, you know, I guarantee Rosecrans is on his phone like pissing up a rope definition. Like, what is it? What
yeah,
does that
I
idiom
mean?
Mean?
He's probably an asshole, Rosecrans. But I was listening to the PTI guys talked about this, and they said that, you know, like, we were beat reporters, and this shit would happen every day. Mm-hmm. But the problem was, we weren't recording it, so it wasn't out there. But he's like, they would just, the managers, I mean, baseball's so accessible, mm-hmm. right? And the managers would just, like, berate them. And he's like, and then afterwards, at the end of the day, they'd buy us a drink at the bar, you know? Because mm-hmm. they didn't hate us.
Right.
We just bothered the shit out of them, you know?
Right. Doing
their
job,
always,
right.
They're always in the fucking locker room.
Well, at any point after this, so this is before the Brewers-Reds game Monday night. So whatever Price said must have rattled Rosecrans enough because he went out and he right away he's tweeting. So all these beat reporters tweet and they blog during the game and all that
yeah.
stuff. So he tweets out during the game. They showed the replay and Carlos Gomez is already running off the field from center. The rest of the team is too, but ump's holding them. So the problem with that is that Carlos Gomez has been on the DL since April 16th, so he was not on the field. So he's so rattled that he's just writing all this stuff out, and he doesn't even know. And that to me, when I'm a manager and I see that, like, the beat reporter's writing this shit, like, you don't know. You don't even know that this guy's on the DL. Do your job and report the games properly. Like, you don't need to know the shit in between. Just get the game down. Show me that you can understand what's going on in the field. You know all nine players that are out on the field, and then maybe we'll talk about some of our players.
Maybe.
All right. One last thing here. Lindsey Vonn says watching golf is boring. So she said that she doesn't like, she went on Seth Meyers late night with Seth Meyers and said she doesn't like watching her boyfriend Tiger Woods play golf because it's boring. I got news for you, sweetheart. So is skiing.
Yeah, well, she's not wrong.
No one's rushing out to watch skiing.
She's not wrong, but I'll tell you this, man. If I could have the benefits of a man that had $1 billion just because I watched golf, I would watch golf 25 hours a day.
Correct. But let's say you don't have
$1 billion.
Let's say you don't have the benefit of either. Do you watch 3 hours of skiing or 3 hours of golf?
Well, I don't know. Is it Olympic skiing? Or is it just regular skiing?
Just regular skiing. And let's say it's not a major.
Is it
either.
Alberto Tomba?
Let's say it's just the Vulcan Bowl regular golf outing.
I'd watch,
you know,
golf, man. I don't
you'd
know.
Watch
but
3 hours
sleep,
of just
I would
regular
fall
golf over 3 hours
in
of
either one, man.
Right.
But I'd probably
either one is like a Saturday morning hangover or a Sunday morning hangover.
Three
watch.
Hours is a lot of anything like that.
It is. It's enough to put you to sleep, I think. Either one.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus.
So I think it's the pot calling the kettle black. Lindsey Vonn.
Oh,
skiing
of course
is
it is.
Well.
I think skiing's so much fun to do, as golf is too. But it's pretty fucking boring to watch when you're not doing it.
Well, you know what's not boring?
What's that?
Athletes getting arrested.
Oh,
I love
man.
It. It's time for everybody's favorite segment, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Daily Upper Decker podcast. It's time for the pile.
The pile.
First up, you might have seen this article in Daily Upper Decker. Look for us at dailyupperdecker.com. Find us on Facebook, on Twitter as well, at Daily Upper Deck. Also find us on Vine. But Andy Ostroff wrote an article about this one. Jarrett Stoll, the Los Angeles Kings forward and the boyfriend of Aaron Andrews, was arrested for taking cocaine and ecstasy into MGM's Wet Republic pool.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that there were signs, and he had to go through a metal detector, right?
Yeah.
There were signs that said, you will get a pat down.
The problem was he had a big pink bag filled with coke and pills.
Okay.
And it's like, it was stuffed in his board shorts.
So you want to defend this guy?
Yeah, I'll defend him.
So obviously he was arrested for drug possession.
Yeah.
Okay. Andy Ostroff, even though we don't have Judge Tishon Prince here, defend your client.
Last year, Jarrett Stoll attended Wet Republic at the MGM as a Stanley Cup champion. And he was allowed to do anything he fucking wanted. Right?
My oh my, how a year could change.
But nobody told Jarrett that. So he showed up with his cocaine and his ecstasy. And when he was asked, hey, is that cocaine? He said yes. Why? Because Jarrett Stoll is an honest man. And just like George Washington, the founder of this country, Jarrett Stoll cannot tell a lie. Do you want to convict a man that is just like George Washington, the founder of this country?
I do. If I'm the judge today, I do. I am going to convict him for being so goddamn stupid. Because if you're in Las Vegas and you get busted with cocaine.
Yeah, if you're the one.
The one who gets busted with cocaine, then you're a dumbass. You deserve to be busted. That's my take. That was your take on it?
Yeah, my take was, how the fuck do you stand out on coke? Like, everyone's on coke. It's Vegas.
It is. It's like getting busted with a hooker in Vegas. Everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
How did you find the one that was a cop?
Oh, man.
All right, and there's also like a side story here, too.
Yeah, I like this side story.
In that Aaron Andrews, his girlfriend, when Marshall Henderson at Mississippi.
Ole Miss.
Failed a drug test. She trolled him.
Yeah.
Literally went on Twitter and said shit about him. So what Marshall Henderson did is
she said, is he going to mock someone now?
He said, yeah, he said, I'm, you know, at that point, he said, I'm going to save this and wait.
Yeah.
And he did exactly that. So the minute the minute that Jared Stoll got arrested, I think it was the tweet was like, LOL, are you serious?
Oh, it was like, LOL, how about your boyfriend?
Yeah, yeah, right,
so
right.
Aaron Andrews.
Like that.
The best part about that story is Marshall Henderson plays professional basketball in Baghdad. He really does. I'm not even kidding. I mean, the drug tests hurt.
Are you
his.
Allowed to bring guns at games in Baghdad?
That's the part of the game. You shoot at the other team. That's defense.
That's unbelievable. Marshall Henderson in Baghdad.
Yeah.
God, he's too crazy to be in that town.
Winner gets a
goat. I'm surprised he's still alive. Ugh, moving on here in the pile.
It's the only town that can keep him under control. Baghdad.
I'm sure parts of Mississippi are worse than Baghdad. I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah. All right. Moving on here in the pile. Detroit Lions offensive lineman Rodney Austin was arrested and released from the team after being accused of assaulting both a woman and a child last week. Andy Ostroff, you had the pleasure of defending this guy.
All right. He was accused of assault and larceny of a woman and some reports say it was a baby. Some reports say it was a 12-year-old.
But either way.
Here's the thing.
I mean, are there laws? He are there was, laws that say, okay, a baby is 10 years, a 12-year-old is like 4 years behind bars?
I don't know what the laws are, even though I'm technically the lawyer of this.
Well,
so here's the thing: he was just doing a magic trick. He wasn't stealing. He just wanted to make something disappear, and he was going to give it back to the boy. But people automatically freak out when a 6'4", 311-pound black guy wearing a top hat and a tuxedo tries to make your shit disappear.
Your Honor, I would have gone, he's guilty. It's guilty. It was kind of a cute
I read
offense.
A couple different
it was a cute,
yeah, it was know. Cute. I read a couple different reports and it was like one was like he pushed a woman while she was
while
holding
she was
a
holding
baby.
Her child.
But then there was another one that said he assaulted a 12-year-old boy. I was like,
your defense should have been more like, Your Honor, he plays for the Lions. He doesn't get a lot of playing time. He's just trying to fit in with the boys.
Yeah, seriously.
I would have gone for that. I would have said, maybe just a little bit of rehab.
Yeah.
Not sure if this guy has been in rehab. Moving on here in the pile, Warren Sapp, the former NFL Network analyst and Hall of Fame defensive lineman's interrogation tape has been released.
Yes.
thanks to TMZ Sports.
Dude.
And it's beyond hysterical. Did you get a chance to read this?
I saw it.
Yeah, I saw it.
And he at no point in this does he realize that he is admitting to hiring people for sex, and nor does he realize that this is illegal. He's telling cops this, like,
he's literally just sitting like this.
This shit is allowed.
Like, over his head. Like it's like me telling you a story.
He's like, yeah, I gave that girl $300 and she just said, and I was like, stop using your mouth to talk. You should use it on me.
So then
and
I
then
started
the other
recording
girl,
her while she was down there because I
yeah.
like to get weird like that sometimes.
No,
like,
he said he was silly like that.
Silly, excuse me.
He's yeah, a silly guy.
So I think that's the craziest part of the whole thing. Like when you watch it, you're like, dude, that's a cop. You're
dude,
talking
you're
to
in
a cop.
Police station.
Get a lawyer.
I don't understand how he didn't get a lawyer the second they came.
Right? Doesn't he? I mean, a guy like Warren Sapp, for as much as he goes out and gets hookers and gets in trouble, like he should be like his lawyer should be his best friend.
I mean, he literally
wherever he goes, lawyer goes.
It honestly looked like he thought he was above the law.
It really was, or it almost looked like he was. And if you listen to him, it sounded like you said, he didn't like understand that what he was talking about and what he was making it seem like it was okay. Like, oh yeah, it's all right. This is
in
what
his
I was
mind.
Doing.
It was. He's like, yeah, I met these two girls. They were like, okay, come back, and they're like, yeah, we'll suck your dick for $200. He's like, so I'll put $600 on the table. And then when they were like, you need to give me a tip? And he's like, why do I need to give you a tip? Your friend's in the bathroom. She didn't do anything. She got $300. It's like, well, he does have a point. It's still illegal, and he's telling it to a fucking cop.
What I think the most amazing thing about this is post-NFL Warren Sapp. Like, no longer a player. Sure, he's an NFL Network analyst. Sure, he's in the Hall of Fame. But, like, imagine Warren Sapp at his heyday. Like, during his heyday.
Fuck that. Not even during the NFL. Miami. They used to throw girls, like, between floors in the dorms.
Maybe that's why he thinks it's okay. It's like, dude, just, you know.
Dude,
man.
What was that song that came out a few years ago about the guys? They wrote, like, a rap song on the Miami team about fucking bitches on the seventh floor.
Two Live Crew?
No, it was the Miami football team.
Really?
Yeah, it was like, we on the seventh floor. I don't remember how it went. It was probably like 5 years ago that they like released the song about the seventh floor.
The next year, sanctions were leveled against the program. Yeah, that's...
I think every other year, sanctions were leveled against Miami.
Against Miami. Moving on here in the pile.
There was no defense for that one, by the way.
No, he's just an idiot.
The pile.
Almost as fucked up as this next guy, Ralph Green III, arrested and suspended from Indiana University football team after slapping a girl who didn't want to dance with him.
I actually have a good defense for this one.
All right.
You Andy dance Ostroff? With Ralph Green III or you don't dance. Look, he slapped her in the face because he was just trying to get the party started.
Well, you know, he's not going to be getting anything started on the football field anytime soon. He's been suspended for the time being.
Yeah, because the cops came and they ran his blood alcohol content. It was a 0.201.
That's crazy. So if at that point he had a 0.201, what was he when he slapped the girl? Like, I don't get that. He should probably have not even been awake at that point.
He's huge. He's a big guy.
0.201. It's crazy. That is not a good defense. I appreciate your creativity, your effort there, but it's not a good defense.
It's not a good defense to get the party started.
Last one here in the pile.
You have a rule in favor of me on any of them.
No, I'm a lot tougher. When Tyshawn Prince is out and his assistant justice is in.
Yeah, you're the judge that the lawyer's like, oh, it's Gimler. No one ever wins against
We'd
Gimler.
Like to move our trial to next week if that's possible. Yeah. Final one here in the pile. J.C. Jackson, the University of Florida cornerback, was arrested and charged for armed robbery after he and two acquaintances stole weed and an Xbox. Mm-hmm. I'd like to start off with putting acquaintances in quotes because if you're going to go steal something with somebody, you should probably know who they are, right? Acquaintance is just like, yeah, I know the guy.
Yeah, it's casual.
Do you want to defend this guy, or what do you want to do? You just want to read the comments from...
I want to read the comments from the Gainesville newspaper, but he did only steal $382 worth of weed and Xboxes, so either it was a really old Xbox...
Yeah, or the Xbox...
not very much weed.
It was like a joint and an entire Xbox with, like, four controllers. So you're going to go... You're going to basically... not testify against your client here, and you're just going to let the public speak for
I'm
themselves?
I'm just going to let the public do it, yeah.
All right. So according to Gainesville.com, this is what people have to say about University of Florida's J.C. Jackson getting arrested in a weekend robbery and not talking about it. Steva Alis says, what do you mean premature judging?
Is that the one that has her the career?
Yeah, she works as a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you mean premature judging? If it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and looks like a duck, it's probably a duck. He needs to be held accountable for this, his actions, like every other person. Brenda Rush
has commented a lot, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
I can't see it on my phone.
She's all over it. She said, I meant just what I said, premature judging. You are supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. And I do agree that he and anyone else is to be held accountable for their actions. But until the facts are proven in court, you and no one else knows what they were. Sounds right. Leslie Britton says $382 in an Xbox is worth ruining the rest of your life and career. Sad. Brenda Rush, why don't all of you wait until all the facts have been revealed before throwing him under the bus? Believe it or not, you can't always go by what's in the paper. Stop the premature judging. No Name Null, bye-bye, thugs be gone. Alice Trinosky Taylor, what a role model. Time for tougher standards to play college football. Just saying. Emoji, smiley face. And then, of course, Stop Traffic Fraud. Had a YouTube clip.
Yeah. So we had a YouTube clip about, like, not talking.
Yeah, no traffic fraud.
By the way, I looked up that YouTube clip. It is almost 50 minutes long.
So if I have to guess, you got a gun in my face, I'm going to have to say that Brenda Rush knows J.C. Jackson.
Probably.
Yeah, you don't just go out on a limb for...
She's his guidance counselor.
Or stepmom.
Yeah.
All right. We're almost done with this.
We are.
We're almost done with this disaster. In case you haven't realized yet up to this point, Andy's going on about 2.5 hours of sleep. I'm going on about 4.
Yeah.
We don't have Tyshawn Phillips here to carry us. We're exhausted.
We're pretty fucked up, man.
We're probably not as exhausted as
I
these people.
I still got to pack. I got to wake up early again tomorrow, man.
I'm going out to Washington, D.C. You can see this guy. Where are you going to be on Saturday?
Arlington Cinema Draft House all weekend.
Nice. I love that place. Yeah, all weekend you can catch the Dud's very own Andy Ostroff at the Arlington Cinema Draft House. Great place. Movies, beers, doesn't get any better than that.
Pretty cool.
Unless Bobby Lee and Andy Ostroff are coming to town.
Yep.
All right, guys, it's time for Fact or Fudge.
Fact or Fudge.
Andy, without Tyshawn here, you're basically getting the win. We're giving you the win. It counts.
There's no competition here.
Patriots Day was this past Monday.
Yeah, it was.
And that's going to lead us into our Fact or Fudge question, which we're just going to go through and quiz you, see if you know it. Is this the name of somebody who won the Boston Marathon, which would be a fact?
Is it guys and girls?
Guys and girls.
Good.
Or not, which would be fudge.
Okay.
Okay. First up, Bodil Johansson. Bodil Johansson. Is that somebody who won the Boston Marathon or not?
Bodil Johansson.
Bodil Johansson.
No, that sounds too, like, Swedish or something.
Swedes, Finnish, they've all won. Norwegians, they've all won.
No.
That is correct.
Yes.
Bodil Johansson was a Danish pornographic actress born in the village of Hundige near Copenhagen. An animal lover, she ran a small entrepreneurial farm and animal husbandry business and enjoyed celebrity status from her many pornographic films in which she engaged in sex acts with animals.
She seems really nice.
She did not win the Boston Marathon.
No.
I'm gonna kind of go out on a limb and say she didn't even run one.
I've seen a bunch of Boston Marathons.
Have you ever seen a Bodil Johansson film?
No, but now I need to.
Oh, this is crazy. She's dead. She died in 1985. The cause of death on her Wikipedia page?
Fucked to death by a horse?
No.
Oh.
Suicide or cirrhosis? Psoriasis?
Suicide or cirrhosis?
Cirrhosis. What, like, is cirrhosis?
Cirrhosis is of the liver. Like, your liver has holes in it from drinking too much.
Or suicide, one of the two. It seems pretty different, right?
That seems pretty easy to tell apart.
Known for pornography and
maybe
zoo sexuality.
Unless you drink
zoo sexuality is one word. That's crazy. She also had a daughter. Not sure if it's human. All right, so moving on here. Fact or Fudge, man. It's great, dude. Congratulations. You're up one to nothing. You're 1-0 in your little quiz here.
Yeah, Tyshawn's losing.
Number two, is this the name of somebody who won the Boston Marathon or not? Dana Sue Gray.
Yeah, she won.
That is incorrect.
Damn it.
Dana Sue Gray is an American serial killer who murdered three elderly women in 1994. She was caught
after her
fourth victim survived and identified her. Gray says she committed these murders to support her spending habits.
I think I've heard. That's why I heard the name. I think I remember hearing that name.
Lists her victims. She killed an 86-year-old woman, a 66-year-old woman. Oh, boy. Anyway, there were other, like, potential suspects. They didn't even get her right away. So that is an incorrect answer. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
So we'll give you a check there and X. No. So you're 1-1.
Okay.
Moving on here. Is this the name of somebody who won the Boston Marathon or not? Thomas Longboat.
I'm going to say no.
That is incorrect. Thomas Longboat actually won the Boston Marathon.
God fucking damn it.
Right? In 1907, he set the course record. 2 hours, 24 minutes, and 24 seconds. Thomas Longboat from Canada.
Jesus.
So you're 1-2, man. It was a great start. You knew that Bodil Johansson, you didn't know that she was doing animals, but you knew she did not run the Boston Marathon. Since then, you're 0-2.
Oh, God. Is Johnny Kelly on this list or what?
No, nothing that easy, buddy. Is this the name of somebody who won the Boston Marathon or not? Bill Rogers.
God, that's a familiar sounding name.
Bill Rogers?
Yeah.
Bill's familiar, Rogers familiar. This guy could be anybody.
Yeah.
This could be both.
Yeah.
Because there are so many Bill Rogers out there.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance he did win just because it's such a common name, but it would have had to be before, like, 1985.
Bill, yeah, before they started letting Kenyans run.
Is he related to Roy Rogers?
I've got Bill Kennedy on the list here. Bill Rogers.
Say no because you can't find it on the list.
Is that a good guess? No, he did win before 1985. He actually
did win.
Okay. He won four of them, believe it or not. Four Boston Marathons he won. He set the course record with his third victory and with his first victory.
Okay.
So he won in 1975, 1978, 1979, and 1980, and then he became a trivia question. So congratulations. 2-2. Bill Rogers did win four Boston Marathons. Is this the name of somebody who won the Boston Marathon or not? Rogers Ropp.
What's with all the Rogers, man?
Rogers Ropp.
No.
That is incorrect. Rogers Ropp. Guess what country he's from?
Norway.
Kenya.
Ropp?
Yeah.
What kind of Kenyan is named Ropp?
Rogers Ropp. One in 2002. 2 hours, 9 minutes, and 2 seconds. That is an incorrect answer.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, that sounds about as Kenyan as Andy Ostroff.
Yeah, seriously.
Rogers Ropp. Number six, Mikhail Popkov. Is this the name of somebody who won the Boston Marathon or not? Mikhail Popkov.
Too Russian.
That is correct. He was actually one of the Russian serial killers from last week.
Oh, nice.
I like that. 22 women.
I like those guys.
So good to go. So you're 3-3 right now. Bobby Gibb. Bobby Gibb.
Was he a Bee Gee?
It's possible. There were quite a few of them.
Yeah.
Bobby Gibb.
So no?
That's your answer?
Yeah.
That is incorrect. Bobby Gibb is actually a female. Who won the Boston Marathon. In case you didn't know, women didn't start running until 1966, and Bobby Gibb won the first three.
Mm. How many did Rosie Ruiz win?
Is that another BG?
No, she was the one who got caught cheating.
Oh, I was trying to find out who that was,
but I didn't
have enough
time. She took the train.
And crossed.
Yeah, and that was back in the day before they had, like, sensors and stuff, because some woman cheated at the St. Louis Marathon recently? But that they have sensors. Like, she wasn't even sweating when she crossed the line. She was like, I won. And everyone's like, yeah. And they're like, wait, we don't have your sensor crossing any of these things. But Rosie Ruiz won. It, like, set, like, a record. And everyone was, like, freaking the fuck out.
She wasn't even sweating.
This was before, like, it was even, like, really televised. Right? And then people are like, wait, I don't remember seeing her.
Did she even have a number?
Yeah, she had a number. But
she started the race,
and then she jumped on the train. And then finished. Because there's a stop, like, right there.
And I think I remember seeing it. Like, she pretended like she was tired, and all the reporters were like, Rosie, you know, this is great. You set the record. How do you feel?
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. Take stones. All right, final one here. Is this the name of somebody who won the Boston Marathon or not? Uta Pipig.
Oh, Uta Pipig won, like, three times. She's a badass. She shit herself.
Are you serious?
Yeah, 1 year she was sick, and she had, like, diarrhea streaming down her legs.
And she was like, bullshit, I'm running.
Yeah, she was a badass.
She's German, dude.
Yeah, Uta Pipig is, she's tits, man.
Well, that is the best, she's the shit, literally.
Yeah.
And that's the best way to end this Daily Upper.
With one that I know.
I honestly would not have guessed that you knew that.
Yeah, Uta Pipig is like, I remember that was when I was younger, and she was killing it. I was thinking I was in, like, middle school or high school, and I remember her. She would just win it. Like.
Uta Pipig won in 1994, 95, and 1996.
Yeah, 3 years in
a row.
I
can't believe she shit herself and just kept running.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've heard of this before.
Yeah, man. Look her up, man. She's a badass. She almost didn't run the race and then won the race.
It says, let's see. I started having stomach cramps about 5 miles into the race in 1996. Seems even more remarkable when you consider that she reportedly crossed the finish line with blood and diarrhea dripping down her legs and live television cameras rolling. As Pipig recalls, I started having stomach cramps about 5 miles into the race, and shortly after I had diarrhea. I was self-conscious about it, not only for me, but in a caring way for our sport. She considered dropping out 7 or 8 miles in and even walked a little. Although uncomfortable, her focus shifted from winning the race to staying in it and running as well as she could in this situation. Later in the marathon, she admits, I was frightened when I felt blood flowing down my legs. That red trickle was widely attributed to menstrual problems, which Pipig says was a misconception. After winning the race, she was diagnosed with ischemic colitis or inflammatory bowel disease.
Wow.
1998, a drug test found Pipig had an elevated ratio of testosterone.
Yeah, she was a beast.
So she was a cheater. But,
not
you know,
for
kudos
those
to
three
her.
Glorious years, sir.
Kudos to her for you know,
hey,
not
if
shitting.
If I saw Uta Pippig out, I would buy her a drink.
You know, that it's kudos to her for not, you know, shitting herself and then in Boston and then running into the Landown pub. And running past everyone and leaving a
Lansdowne,
pile.
She lands down.
She just kept right on going. Unlike other people that we know that drive Toyota, orange Toyota
Priuses.
Hey, man,
she doesn't need a Prius.
Uta Pippig.
She doesn't use any gas when she runs.
Shit herself in the Boston Marathon. And that's how we're going to end this episode of the Daily Upper Decker. Find us online at dailyupperdecker.com. Find us at Facebook, Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck, and on Vine. We'll be back next week, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know who's going to be here.
I'll be here.
Because I'm not.
You're not?
I'm not going to be here. I might have to do this one by myself. We're losing people as we go. So maybe we'll get back to full strength. We'll have T'Shawn Phillips, Andy Ostroff, myself back in 2 weeks.
Where are you
going to
be?
I'm going to be at the NFL draft next week.
Shut the fuck up.
NFL draft next week.
Are you doing a hosting job or are you just going because you're lame?
I'm emceeing for Visa. No.
That's the lamest shit ever. It's like, I'm going to go to the NFL draft and cheer.
It's almost as lame as talking about the 2015 NFL
schedule. I'd rather watch skiing than the fucking NFL draft. How's that sound?
The Daily Upper Decker. Nothing but sports and crap.